Well, now wait a minute. I have a big silver ladle and spoon, and on the back of it, it's 1876, and it was their 25th wedding anniversary, and it has on the back the names of the early ones here who were their friends.
Mm-hmm.
All those names are on the back. The two Clees and different ones.
And about what year was that?
Now that year was 1876, and they were married 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So that was 25 years prior to 1876.
And that was the original marriage.
My grandparents on my mother's side were married here by the first rabbi of Rhode Island. What did I just say his name? Not Armfeld.
That wasn't... What was his name?
I can't remember. But that was the original little room that they first started in.
Mm-hmm. Why waste of time? Because I have to now find it.
It's perfectly all right. We have nothing but time.
It says here, a member of the temple has been kind enough to present us with an article which appeared in the Pittsburgh Leader in 1900. It describes the dedication of the 2nd 8th Street Temple. We are publicizing it in full in the exact text of the article, confident it will be of great interest to the readers of the bulletin. Now, that is what this thing is. Now, where's that man's name? His painting is down there in the temple.
I can't think who that was. It was before Giuseppe.
On hold. The first rabbi of the Road of Shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say 25 from 76.
1851. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now tell us what you remember about your mother and your father.
I think my mother, my father, my grandparents. My mother and my father are so recent to my...
Yes, well, your grandparents, too. I mean, it's...
Anyhow, they were from the first rabbis. He was the first rabbi elected. And that was long before the original congregation, according, you might put this in, the original history of the congregation of Rhode Island, which was published in one of the bulletins many years ago, states that a number of men gathered together and decided to have a reform doctrines. Among these were my grandfather
and
his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A few of his brothers, and their name was Uppenheim.
Okay.
Well, then you put down already he and his and my grandmother were married here.
Right. Okay. All right.
Just like all children, my grandparents were something very wonderful to me, and I was the only granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I had a very fine relationship with my grandparents, and the kind of thing that now would be considered completely foolish.
Mm-hmm.
No little child would ever want to be taken by their grandfather on one side out to the dusty orphanage to ride in an open streetcar as a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And my other grandfather was very much interested in the first cemetery, which is called then the Troy Hill Cemetery. And he used to take me, when I was a little girl, when he would go out to supervise the cemetery.
That was your treat.
That was the creek, the open street.
That's interesting.
Now, that's all I could tell you about that period.
Your father, what did your father do for a living?
They owned a distillery.
I see. And, of course, your mother stayed home like all good mothers did in those days. Your mother didn't, she wasn't a businesswoman. She stayed home and took care of the family.
No.
And you were an only child.
I was an only grandchild.
Oh, I'm sorry, an only grandchild.
And
you were, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. And you have brothers and sisters, though.
Hmm?
You have brothers and sisters?
One brother.
One, just one brother, I see. Okay.
I have a brother who just died this winter for the name of Cass Sunstein.
Did you go to school in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
You went to school in Pittsburgh?
I went to it was then called Winchester, but it's now combined with Winchester.
Thurston.
I went to Thurston, and then Winchester was later. Thurston was the first private girls' school that was any good. That was on Shady Avenue. And then they combined later with Winchester. So they're now called First of Winchester. From the time I was 12, I went out to Shady Avenue to school.
Where did you live as a child?
At that time, my mother was, my mother, by the way, I'm diverting. My mother was born in Pittsburgh. That's where the whole little group of German Jewish people who had settled here lived. And I was born in Allegan. I used to take the streetcar out, but from the time I was 12 years old, I went to Winchester place, which is now called Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
And on my and my father's side, my grandfather happened to belong, he was much more Orthodox. He kept his Orthodox religion. He came a little later. He came in about 1866.
From where?
He came from a place on the in Poland on the border of Germany. At that time, home it was Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Later, it became Germany.
I see.
And he came to this country. I have the passport that he had when he lived. Came over the border from Poland. I happened to have that. I was one of these little collectors. I used to ask for certain things the family had, you know, that were from the family mementos.
Yes.
And then some of the others, when they'd see, they why didn't we want that?
That's true.
Now, my grandfather, on my father's side, married a second time. And he had three children by that point.
Mrs. Spire, you said you went to Winchester, or to Thurston. At that time, were you interested in art, or was it
I think I was always interested in art, because I always drew on my all over my books. But at that time, it was a lady's art to play the piano. So I took piano lessons.
I see.
And then when I went away to a junior college at Morristown, New Jersey, I tied up, they had a art department. And I tied up there, and that's the first art I took. I was then 18 years old.
I see. And you never had any formal training up until that time?
No, I had no formal training, and that wasn't too formal. That was just an artist, you know, employee.
I see. So then you're...
Now, we are supposed to be descended from the Gone of Wilma. And I have a whole long paper here that is very poorly done, that shows the descent, which doesn't do us much good because there must be thousands who came from the Wilma Gone. But I always heard about the Wilma Gone being one of us having been our ancestors.
That's interesting. Let's see here.
You know, he was that great scholar.
Yes.
I was looking at it the other day because one of the family asked me for it. But it's very important. I mean, that isn't to be put down, but that's just
all right. Okay.
Will you other words, you lived in Allegheny. The original Rosh Hashanah temple was in Allegheny, wasn't it? Or was it downtown?
No, I think everything in Jewish life, from the little I know, centered around Pittsburgh. And all these different families, you may have talked to them, the Cleves and the Franks, and they all live around, I tell you where, I know the house my mother was born in. I don't know if you were old enough to know where the Wabash Depot was. That's
yeah.
where McCann's
yes.
were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there were rows of houses there.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents owned a row of houses there.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was born in one of those houses. And then when the Wabash came through, they sold that property.
Mm-hmm.
And that house my mother happened to have been born in, there was no reason to preserve.
So it's really downtown Pittsburgh, in the downtown area.
Pittsburgh, that's where the early settlers lived, kind of around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they happened to start to move to Allegheny, but I know that I lived in Allegheny when I went to Sunday school, and I must have been about 6 years old in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So that terrible Dr. Madison.
I guess all kids don't like Sunday school, regardless.
Oh, no, but that man was...
impossible.
There was a Mr. Hamburger here who was a great friend of his. He's supposed to have kept me there.
There's always one.
Then we got the great influence on my life was Dr. Red, J. Leonard Lee. That man was outstanding.
And around...
You don't want me to jump to that.
Yes.
Now, I would like to know, about how old were you when J. Leonard Levy came into your life? When you first met him and when you felt an influence?
Well,
felt his influence.
One thing I do know is that when he came in, children were being confirmed quite early, about 13, and I remember he came in and said he thought they should be confirmed earlier,
mm-hmm.
and later,
mm-hmm.
later,
right.
because they would have been more knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And he put in a whole set of reforms. He made the whole temple what it is. He was responsible for moving from 8th Street, and he managed to raise money. The people here in Pittsburgh, the Jewish community, did not get money. You can't talk about it now, but they didn't give money then.
Mm-hmm.
$10, $15, $20, you know. Dr. Levy taught the whole community to start giving when he came. Now, a few years ago, we had a 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lunch to celebrate. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, I do remember.
Well, that many died 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
so that's a few years, at least 55.
So about how old were you at the time that...
So
then
I would figure I must have been about 13.
Mm-hmm. And even at that early age, you felt his influence.
He would almost ask anybody, any young person who was under Dr. Levy, they would tell you he was a great influence in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I... So my children used to tell me things that he told me, not necessarily religious,
mm-hmm.
interpretation of religion and certain things in a logical way.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual also, and he was a great orator,
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful voice.
Must have been quite a man. Sorry that we didn't get to know
him. Has anybody mentioned him to you?
Yes, oh yes, he's been mentioned many times. Because he must
Nobody
have been influenced.
Nobody ever meant anything to me after he died at the temple.
Mm-hmm. Isn't
that?
They never, some remarkable
they
man.
They never made me feel any emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a regular service goer at that time?
Oh,
because
yes,
he was there?
And then I went every Sunday. We never missed. It was almost an event to go to his lectures.
Really?
On Sundays. Do you see? He was an innovator. He had service. He had regular Jewish service on Saturday, and then he had Sunday, more of a lectures covered many, many subjects. They weren't concentrated on religion, but he had a beautiful service Friday night. I think if I remember right, he started Friday night service.
Mm-hmm.
And also he had a lecture service, a series of lectures, which were, oh, absolutely popular. In those days, you didn't have so many lectures.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Lee's lectures were widely known all through the city, his best books and different.
Were they known among the Gentile community as well as the Jewish community?
Oh, the Gentile came to
hear him
do these lectures. Mm-hmm. They were universally appreciated.
Your children started Sunday school under Leonard Levy?
My two oldest sons went to Sunday school. And another thing about Dr. Levy, he didn't enlarge the temple by bringing in huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew the name of almost every child in the Sunday school. And his whole work was with children.
Mm-hmm.
Now then we got Dr., what's his name?
Goldenson.
Hmm?
Goldenson?
Goldenson.
Right.
Goldenson was a very spiritual
man.
You don't need to put this in
take it up.
Is there any particular thing that Dr. Levy said or what was his real influence on you?
His influence was just how wonderful a man he was. And he was the sort of man, this is what he would do. He would have his savior. And he would have children that savored that maybe, well, he would have maybe some of the orphans from the dusty home, he would have the savior. Or he would have children. He would have people that his savior that weren't the most important people in the city,
mm-hmm.
in the Jewish community. And he's a very hospitable man.
He had time for everyone.
He seemed to have time for everyone.
And he obviously believed in the importance of reaching children so that he could influence them before they...
He really was for the thought of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Goldenson didn't care. I don't think Goldenson cared at all for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean he didn't like children.
No, but you...
I mean, they were of interest to him.
Right.
And I don't know how free you are. I know most of the children don't like Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what if they like at present. I don't go anymore. We started going to Florida about 50 years ago for 4 months of the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And my one daughter had ear trouble, and that started us there. So that's why the other three children weren't sent to Sunday school. And therefore, I lost contact with the temple more or less.
Mm-hmm.
My father was always on the board of the temple from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He was the treasurer, and he was on the building committee. And very much interested in the temple and all the charities, not like just locally, but very much interested in national charities for a term of 4 years. He was the president of the Wholesale Liquor Dealers Association and the Brewers and the Distillers for 4 years, the national.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much interested in national.
I see.
And also in local. And he was one of the ones that started the country club. You know, a group of men got together.
Westmoreland Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Westmoreland Country Club.
Yes,
Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm. First, they go way back to the Concordia Club when it's an owl.
Mrs. Spire, as a youngster, what did you do for fun?
Oh, we did such simple things.
Yeah. But like what?
I don't know. My father, I think, was a great and my mother and father both, I thought, were perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a very fine woman, and my father was very intelligent and intellectual and had a big library of books. He was a great reader, and so was his brother. and they influenced me a great deal. My father influenced my reading, and I think I had a very good environment in my home.
Did you transfer or attempt to transfer the same kind of thing to your children when they were growing up?
Well, my husband was a brilliant man.
Would you tell us a little bit about your courtship and marriage, where you met your husband, and
I knew my husband the time we were children.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. He lived in Allegheny, 30 minutes.
I see.
And in those days, you know, that there would be a group of boys get together, and they'd have clubs, they'd have names for them. And sort of a group of your parents, children of your parents' friends, you know, you start to go with them. That didn't mean you always went with them, because finally you grew apart and entered.
Right.
But they all had names.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one name called the Lincoln, one called the Lincoln Club.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband belonged to that. And as a side remark at the moment, Eugene Strasburg is the only living one of the whole group.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He's going to have a 90th birthday.
Yes. No, isn't that?
You know him.
Yes, sure. Yeah. Right.
They're going to have a brunch for his 90th sweet children.
So you knew.
He's the only one left. And I think, I and one other are the only two left of that group who used to get together. For such simple entertainment, we'd get around the piano and we'd sing these old songs, good old summer days, and one of the ones would play the piano. You know, you talk about everything that's so simple.
Right. And so, I really think it was so much better then. I think young people had more fun then than they do now.
More simple fun.
Simple. Well, simple fun or whatever. They certainly seemed to enjoy life much more.
How old I was when the big thing was the Concordia Club was where the Allegheny General Hospital is.
Yes, right.
And the Concordia Club used to have on May Day a poll. You've heard of a May Day.
Sure.
Well, we all got dressed up. I don't know how young we were. We must have been little children then. You know, I'm supposed to have a crazy memory, and honestly, the things you're making me remember.
Look at the fun you had.
It's nice to remember back to all those wonderful days, isn't it?
I don't know. You can't think about them unless somebody asks you.
No, but it's nice
If you ask me what we did, we just enjoyed ourselves with the simplest kind of things.
Yes.
And maybe this group of people, different ones that were friends, would go away for the summer maybe. We used to go to Crescent Springs, and we used to go to Cambridge Springs for a few weeks, you know.
That was your summer thing. Yes, sure.
And we'd play at tennis, which we didn't have any lessons in. Now if you play tennis, you get lessons.
That's right, you have to have.
All we cared about was hitting the ball.
So you knew your husband as a child, and
I've always known my husband, I think.
When did you, how old were you when you married?
23.
You had finished college?
No, I went to junior college.
Oh, you went to junior college, but you were finished with, and then did you go on for further formal education?
No, when I came back, I didn't like being away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have gone to college when I came home. I took some lessons in art when I came home, and I took a summer course down at the Tech one summer.
And
I had some lessons from some of the teachers at Tech in painting. This was in painting.
I see.
In other words, you originally started as a painter.
Yes. But I never thought too much about painting. I just loved to paint.
Yes.
But it never mattered anything.
Were you your own worst critic?
Mm-hmm.
Were you your own worst critic?
No, I don't know. I never hung anything in my house of my things.
Never.
Mm. Never gave anybody a thing.
And when did your interest in sculpture begin?
Well, what happened? I was painting. I had a studio in back of the house. Oh, by the way, my father built a house on Barton Street between Murray and Whiteman about 71 years ago. And we moved from Allegheny. The different people that were our friends and parents' friends and so forth started to move out to Allegheny. So we moved out of that time back then.
I see.
About the time the plants did and the different ones that moved out.
And they moved into this area.
And the spheres moved up by the park, you know. Please, they all began to move out here. Mm-hmm.
And when did your interest in sculpture begin? You started to answer that, and then I think
What happened, I was painting. Mm-hmm. I had a studio above the garage at home. Mm-hmm. And I painted. And war came along, and it seemed such a useless thing to do, to be painting with the war going on. So I got interested in war work, and I didn't paint for quite a while. And then I had a chance in Florida, a very well-known and really a good sculptor by the name of Jose de Crec, came down three different winters to Florida, to Palm Beach, to the museum there. They have a school in connection to the museum. And he was brought down for 3 months to teach with sculpture.
And that was your first...
I started with him. I think I always had a feeling for sculpture. I just loved it as a child. Marble fairways. Mm-hmm. And Carnegie Museum, you know, the marble. Mm-hmm. And I think I always instinctively love stone. And when I do things now, sometimes I do something and I wonder where the idea came from. And I think up something and I think, well, I think it was that influence. You know, mm-hmm. unconscious influence of lodges somewhere in your brain.
There can't always be a reason why, I guess.
And my husband, came from Germany, and they're one of the Spires. He's of that family, although we were never friendly with them of the Spires. There's, you know, the banker in New York that's mentioned in that book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
His grandfather was a cousin of this James Firesmith.
I see.
But we never had any relationship with him, so don't make it out as though...
No. What did your
they
husband...
They had some kind of a quarrel with the two cousins when they met. Mm-hmm. My husband's grandfather, and they never had any connection.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband refused to ever look them up.
And your
not
husband's...
That he knew what the quarrel was about, he just never did.
Just never met.
He didn't believe in that kind of thing.
Your husband's business was in
coal.
Right. And tell us something about that. Was that a family business before your husband was in it?
He went to Cornell.
Yes.
And he decided that he ought to work. That he really shouldn't spend any more of his time at college, much as he would like to be financially.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided that he would go into business for me, and he went into the college.
I see.
He filled it up himself.
And what year were you married in?
1913. No, wait a minute. We married 63 years.
So this is 1977. That's all right.
1973. I think I was getting mixed up. Graduated from persons, I think. But there was some connection, something, another date that got me mixed. 1913.
All right. And short. And how long after your marriage did you start your family?
Get up to work.
Start your family.
Well, my son was born a year after.
Well, shall we talk?
I have five children.
Can we talk a little about your children, and perhaps you'll tell us some of their interests?
Well, the children were all, we had a book room in the house. I took over my father's house when he died.
On Bartlett Street.
Mm-hmm. because it had more room, and my mother took our house, which was next door, which we had bought at the time of the war, but we had lived in it a few years, and then we moved into my father's house, and I lived there from then on.
And you had five children there?
Five children.
And tell us what your children are doing today.
Children were always raised in that atmosphere, you know, the same kind of atmosphere I had.
Mm-hmm.
And we always in Allegheny had nice things. Father had paintings that turned out that we never had one that was worth $100,000. They were just paintings.
Yes.
And you always started going out of the woods. I remember when it came to war.